Hi everyone, I'm Heather, one of the Youth Services Librarians here at Cromaine Library, and today I'm here with Shelby from our Community Relations Department and Eric, who is one of our Adult Services Librarians. And this week, this time, this day, we're bringing back Staff Movie Club, and we have a little belated 4th of July celebration with the movie Re-Elected. Woohoo!
A fantastic masterpiece, if you will. Absolutely. Eric's already like, I don't know about that one, gang.
yeah. So our first question is always, had you ever watched this movie before? If you had, what did you remember about it? If you did not, what were your thoughts going in? What did you think this bad boy was going to be about?
I had been wanting to watch this movie since the last 4th of July. I think I heard about it. And me and some pals have been talking about watching this movie forever and eating hot dogs and being patriotic and watching this movie. But I never got around to it. And I never looked at the DVD cover or Googled it. And so I had no idea what I was in for. But once you look at this DVD cover, you are immediately transported, thrown backwards into the sun. And you immediately know what you're in for. So the cover says, this is how I knew what I was in for. It's got like some grimacing, I guess these are supposed to be zombies. It looks wild. And then our character's on the front, but you don't really know that yet. And then the cover of this DVD says, there's something evil in the woods, something horrifying, something gruesome, something American. And that's when I knew that we were in for a steaming pile of garbage and that I would enjoy every moment of it.
Perfect. I had not seen this. I was part of that group of people who wanted to watch this. I did know that the concept was some of the founding fathers or former presidents of the country were reanimated into zombie form, but that is about all I knew, and that was enough to make me want to watch it. I am a huge fan of like B horror movies, so it's right up my alley.
What did you think, Heather?
Oh, I thought it was going to be cheesy camp. It was going to have like an 80s kind of vibe, and you know what? I was absolutely right. My expectations were met tenfold. I laughed. I laughed some more. So much laughter.
Had a great time. I actually watched this on the 4th of July. And so it was a great decision because I think any other day of the year, absolutely not. I'm not spending time on this movie. And I'm not sure that I ever will again. But one time was enough that I enjoyed it. It was fine. We'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it for sure. But one time is definitely enough. Or are you going to watch it more than once, Eric?
No.
I don't want to speak for everybody.
Over the course of 2 sessions, and every time I looked at the clock, I'd be like, oh God, it has to have been half an hour. This is only an 82-minute long movie. It felt like it took me 4 days to watch.
Yeah, I will say this is a fast movie. It's what is it, like an hour 10 or maybe an hour 20.
And 20 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty quick. And the first, like, I have a note 17 minutes into the movie. I'm like, oh, when are the zombies coming? Like, yes. I've had enough. You know what I mean? I feel like if they cut a solid 20 to 25 minutes from this film, it might actually be kind of okay.
Agreed very much, because I feel like it just got really repetitive. And then there are parts I feel like I kind of tuned out because I was just, like, bored. Yeah.
Oh yeah, fully just started doing something else, and then I'd come back and be like, oh, we've moved on now, I can pay attention again.
Or we're still doing the same thing.
We're still here in this living room with 4 drunk idiots. Okay.
Yeah. Should we tell folks the synopsis of this movie? I feel like we should.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So this is from IMDb, and the storyline is, deep in the woods on the 4th of July, siblings Nate and Angela must face off against the zombies of American presidents and their worst nightmare, spending an entire evening together.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. That was also my worst nightmare after meeting those two characters, is having to spend an evening with either one of them.
Same. Hard same. They were the worst. Oh, and the tagline was, you might have already said this, but there's something in the woods, something horrifying, something gruesome, something American.
Oh boy, you know exactly what you're in for.
Yep, yep, yep.
Okay, should we get our sparklers and dive into the 4th of July with
gather up all the Americana we can?
Yes, mm-hmm. Maybe shotgun a beer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think we should. So okay. Like opening scene, my original thought was, oh, 80s camp. Yes. So where were you guys at?
This movie still had me at the opening scene. I appreciated they do that like cold open thing where it's not directly related to, well, I guess it is directly related to the plot, but it's kind of like you don't know what's going on and they just throw you right in the deep end with this girl who is on her way to a party, which we don't know is happening yet. And she just gets murdered. I think she gets a flat tire, right?
Mm-hmm. Something
her
like
car
that
breaks yeah. down or something, and she just gets murdered by, you know, a zombie.
As the Star Spangled Banner is playing in the background.
Yes. America.
Second of all, yeah. Second
symbolism.
Of all.
That's yeah, called yeah. symbolism.
And second of all, something attacks her and very slowly and delicately rips her arm off. The commitment was maybe a 4 out of 10. She's just kind of like, oh no, you mustn't. Ah. And then the arm coming off is very goopy. I kind of liked it.
It was so goopy.
Yeah. It looked like weird jello or something, like not blood, mm-hmm. just like sticky goo as it comes off.
Probably a whole lot of corn syrup.
Yeah, it did. It looks like weird pink red corn syrup.
Yeah. And she was also really mad in this moment. I don't know if it was because like her car broke down or she had to work on the 4th of July.
So and just to clarify, this is before her arm is ripped off that she's yeah, very angry. Also. We start and she's like just swearing and yelling and screaming. And she's like, oh, come on. Like one little thing goes wrong. And she's just like, I've had it enough. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I was like, oh my God, we're 12 seconds into this movie and I'm already like, we're at a 10. What's going on right now?
I feel like we'll talk about this more as we progress through the synopsis of the movie, but it seemed like there was maybe not a whole lot of script going on and they told these actors to ad-lib and the actors were not skilled at ad-libbing, so they just like threw in curses. It seemed like every scene where they were like going to a car or just like running away from zombies is just them like throwing out, you know, OFFF and just like running and yelling curse words.
Yeah, and just this was like string, kind of like that. Yeah, of whatever they can think of on the spot.
Absolutely. And the only thing I can think of too, why she was so mad is because, so she had her pizza shirt on. I really enjoyed her pizza shirt, by the way, mm-hmm. but maybe she just had a really bad day with customers too. Cause I feel like on holidays sometimes, like, you know, I used to work retail and things like that and people can be extra prickly. So she was probably just annoyed because she wanted to relax, have a beer in the woods with her friends. And like everything was preventing her from doing that.
Yeah, totally.
She's
I mean,
vibe.
I feel for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially after her arm gets ripped off and then we immediately cut away and we're like, well, bye. We're going to go follow someone else now.
Yeah.
Nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like,
so
wait,
does
what?
The next scene start right in the car with our gang of three?
Yes, they're going to a party and the tires get stuck in the road.
Okay. Okay. The kid who's driving, what's his name?
Oh gosh. I'm sure I wrote it down. So there was Nate, there was Ange, And there was Mary,
which I was 12 minutes from the end of the film when I figured out her name was Mary, but whatever. And then our guy who's driving, he's blonde. And that's kind of all that matters is that he's blonde because he's the stereotypical blonde.
He's blonde and real dumb.
Yeah. So we'll just call him blonde until we figure it out because blonde is driving. And then the two gals are talking in the car as he's driving. And he's like, oh, yes, we seem to be stuck. And he gets out. And this is like, this is what establishes that he's supposed to be like blonde or whatever. Because he's trying to, quote, fix it. And he's like, I'll go check it out. So he gets out. I'm like, what is there to check out? You're stuck. But okay. And then we're just, the gals are talking and they're on their phones and they're like, my boyfriend posted this picture. Your boyfriend is my half brother. Whatever. We're establishing who people are and their relationships to each other. And this, the blonde guy, we should establish also that these are all just like pretty 20 somethings, like college students.
Yeah.
He like pokes his head in the passenger side. And what does he say? He like asks them something very random. Like, oh, let's check the pressure gauge and check the blinkers. Like he's trying to fix it. And my brows were furrowed into my face the entire time. I hadn't established yet that he's like, that this is a joke and that he's like a dumb blonde or whatever. I was just like, I'm so sorry. It's like a full 2 minutes of him just like giving suggestions that are so far off the rail. And then finally Angela's like, or I could just push the car while you press the gas pedal. And he's like, what? Like, it's just, I was ready to throw my computer out the window.
Yes. Yes.
So I already hate everyone here and myself for watching this.
Same.
Marcus, by the way, his name is Marcus.
Marcus. Wow.
That's what it was. Yeah.
I completely forgot.
And I feel like it was camp making fun of camp too.
Yes. Yeah. Especially when they get there to the cabin and they're like, you know, very stereotypically like making spoof references to other horror movies where they're like, oh yes. Oh, our tires are completely bald and like on like empty, have no pressure left. And like, oh, the car is practically broken down anyway. Oh, are you nervous because we're down this spooky road in the middle of the woods and we're miles from town and no one can hear you scream? Like all this stuff where I'm like, okay, I get it.
We get it. We know what you're doing. Yeah. Cause they get to the cabin and then there's a fourth person, Nate, is there, who had been preparing the cabin for the party, and he's just obnoxious.
He's plugging in every single electrical device into the same power strip, and it was the biggest fire hazard I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, even he's like, oh, my car broke down, and they're like, well, how are you going to get home? I don't know. That sounds like a problem for future Nate. And I'm like, okay.
You're stressing me out.
Yeah. You need to think ahead like a little bit.
Yeah, not like in a, this is a scary movie. Ooh, I'm spooky and I'm stressed. It was just like, you guys.
Are any of you functional human beings?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not.
Yes.
And then like, as he's setting up all of his patriotic stuff, we see that he's in like an American flag shirt and then the camera cuts out and he's in American flag shorts with American flag shoes. And I'm just like, oh, we really like this isn't just a party. This is like, we are feeling patriotic and this is very American. And then the camera keeps like, it'll like fast over and then like zoom really fast and then zoom back out and like then we're zooming over here and zooming into this thing, and it was very much like The Office to me.
Yes.
The random cuts and pans and zooms, it was very weird.
Yes. And my favorite quote from that section was, this party just went from 10 to 1776.
Oh, like, my God. What does that mean?
I think he says that a couple of times.
Yeah.
Because I think he says it again, like in the throw of the zombie fights, he says something about like, 17, like, I think he says something like, we're going to party like it's 1775. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, he ad-libbed that one line and he was really proud of it. He had to keep bringing it back.
Every single day on set, they were like, please stop.
I think that there may have only been one day on set for this movie.
Yeah, probably. He just said it every 10 minutes and they were like, we're gonna have to cut half this movie if you don't stop saying that, because that's the only thing you can think of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we forgot to mention too. So as they're getting their cars like stuck in the tracks of the road and whatnot, they were actually warned not to go to the woods. And then we also find out at the beginning that they're 2 miles away from the nearest neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly the other neighbors knew something was up.
They really set the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we finally get into this cabin. And it's very, Nate's already there doing his 1775 party. Yeah. So he's in there. And then the three, our three frat bros come in and it's a big bro fest. It's all very, I'm already, my eyeballs were rolling so far back into my head that I wasn't sure they were going to come back
from
that space. But anyways, it's like, it's kind of awkward between the four of them. And we're kind of establishing relationships between everyone that they're friends and they like want to have a good time. But it's also, they keep saying, oh, 4 years ago, 4 years ago, we had so much fun, whatever. We never established specifically what was happening 4 years ago, but we get the idea that these two half siblings, Angela and Nate, used to be kind of close or whatever. And then they kind of fell out. So now things are awkward. And it's, they keep talking about the gal who died in the beginning, her name was Jennifer. They're like, oh, Jennifer is going to be here soon. It's going to be great.
And she's the life of the party.
Yeah. Oh my God. The number of times that they would say life of the party and then awkwardly chuckle. And then they would do like this weird, like cowboy dance. This is another part where my eyebrows were so furrowed that I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's like there was a bunch of stuff in this movie that needed an actual point of reference, because just saying like Wendy does a cowboy dance does not like give the audience anything to work with, because we know we're never going to see it. She's dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, every single character in this film, except for the character of Jennifer, does the cowboy dance, and they do this awkward like singing and dancing bit that I'm like, this was where I was like, where are the zombies? Please, I beg you.
I was rooting for the zombies.
Yeah, this is hard to watch at this point. It's tough.
Same. So speaking of, the crew gets college wasted. And then Nate wants to keep binge drinking when everyone else wants him to stop. And then he pulls out the Declaration of Independence and starts raining.
Oh, just found this in the basement. It's cool. I'm going to go. They start talking about like they being half siblings, they must share a dad and have different moms. And then they're like arguing about like dad wouldn't approve of you binge drinking and whatever. And so Nate gets all mad and like just pulls out this copy of the Declaration and starts reading it. I don't know why.
Right.
Because
America.
Yeah, and because...
Do you guys not read through the entire Bill of Rights, Constitution, and Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July every year?
I'm afraid not.
Oof. Are you even American?
I know, you're missing out. That's half the party right there.
Or is it half the party? Because Nate ends up pushing, and everything falls off the table, and a dollar in water lands on the Constitution. And then you see outside a hand coming out from beyond the grave.
I don't understand why that triggered the zombies.
Well, neither does anyone in this movie, because later everyone's like, I don't understand. And I was like, I don't understand.
But the thing is, they keep saying, well, it makes sense if you think about it. I'm like, it doesn't though. It doesn't. What are you talking about?
But somehow this is some kind of way to raise a couple of dead presidents. They throw a couple of like dollar bills onto the Declaration, and I think some beer spills on it.
The
and
beer
like
because first ingredient listed is Americana, which I'm like, what?
Yes.
No one knows what that means.
Yep. It's like Christmas spirit.
Yeah, it kind of is. And so they're all arguing and they've accidentally summoned zombies, but they don't know that yet. And then that big fire hazard I talked about earlier, there's a power surge and power's out. And so now things are spooky. We're only like 30 minutes into this movie and I was like, it's been an hour at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's long. Anyways, so now it's zombie time, which is great.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and Jennifer actually, she shows up and she's dead.
Great.
She's being followed by a zombie, a George Washington zombie.
Okay, this zombie, guys. I feel like we had $7 to work with for makeup and costuming, and we did like some heavy blush, some nice eyeliner, and then like took some blood red and just kind of splatted it on there, and we were like, okay, good to go, which is fine. The wig was a lot. Someone says, because poor Mary is trying to fight off this Washington zombie, she's like running around the living room, like beating him up and screaming. Then the two boys who went out to look at the circuit outside come in and they're like, oh, Mary's got this. This is fine. And so they just start having a nice little chit chat. And one of them says,
they're like hiding in the kitchen, right? Behind the countertop or something. Just like, she's probably fine.
It's cool. Yeah, let's just hang out. And so they're just watching this happen. And then one of them says, oh my God, that's the reanimated zombie of George Washington. And I was like, is it? Okay. And then I think Marcus says, it's like a reanimated zombie of George Washington. And then Nate says, not reanimated, reelected. And then like, cut, title card. And then we like go again. It's that made me laugh.
That might be the only time watching this movie where I laughed out loud. Yeah. And they do that again with something else. I forget what else they did that with later, but yeah, they do it a second time. And I was like, okay, that's still funny.
Yep. I still like this. I like the quick cut, the title card, and then we just carry on.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mary is still screaming while the boys have a side conversation about, you know, reelected.
Aren't the sister and like another dude who randomly showed up trying to make out upstairs at this point?
Yes.
And like,
yes,
he's like, wait, don't go check out the screaming. Let me put on the stereo.
Yes. Let's just drown it out. Yeah. It's not helping the mood.
Very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is where I start to lose track of everything that's happening in the world and in this movie. But then Lincoln and President Jackson also are attacking and everything delves into chaos.
Yes. So here's what I have in my notes.
I'm ready.
All right. Mary discovers Jennifer is dead. So she runs to the car and George Washington follows. Boys are mad because Mary destroyed a whole case of beer. So then Mary runs back inside and they decide to throw hands with George in the woods. There are lots of jokes and puns about elections. And then zombie Abe Lincoln and zombie Andrew Jackson show up. And then homeboy tries to convince Ange to run away and leave Nate behind. She is not having it. But then homeboy got killed by a zombie. I'm not sure who homeboy is.
I think
homeboy was the friend who didn't answer Nate's text, but the sister invited him, so he came to the house in the woods.
Oh, gotcha.
He was like Nate's boyfriend who clearly was not into being friends with Nate anymore because Nate is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, understandable.
Yes.
Okay. So from there, there's a lot of chaos. We're running around, there's zombies and whatever. Angela and Nathan reunite at some point in the woods. Mm-hmm. So these two half siblings who don't want to be together are now forced together. And then Marcus and Mary go to hotwire the car at some point so that they can get out of there because they either don't know where the keys are, they can't find them or whatever. And is Marcus in drag distracting the zombies while Mary's hotwiring the car?
I think so, yeah.
It was very quick, but it shows like the car and you can see Mary in it, like trying to do something, like get the car going. And then Marcus is standing outside and he was wearing something. And I was like, mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know where this came from or where we're going, but that's fine. I was genuinely not sure.
Maybe and then, it was Martha Washington's dress.
Amazing.
Of course. How did we not put that together earlier?
Oh, right? Yeah, this is my bad. I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense if you just think logically or whatever. Ooh, I don't know much. Okay, and then I kind of skipped forward quite a bit in my notes. So if you have anything else, throw it out there.
So let's see. They call Mary and all she hears are Nate and Angie's screams. She's with Marcus at the cabin. And then Mary realizes the AC drove Washington away. So they head to the car.
Okay, this is where I was talking about trying to get the car going. Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. Mary fixes the car and Marcus starts it. Oh, snap. George has Marcus and is eating him.
And then he's very dramatically like, remember me. I want to be buried with whatever. And just like being slowly dragged away.
Yeah. So as it turns out, you didn't skip anything. It just, that's the way it moves.
It just makes no sense. Like most of this movie. I yeah. loved how Mary, I feel like they were in the cabin when this happened. And in a scene earlier, she was attacked in the car when she was alone. And then for whatever reason, the president just left. And at the time I was like, why did he leave? And then she just says, oh, the air conditioning was on. It must have hurt him. And I was like, really? How are we supposed to know this? Like, this movie does nothing to help the viewer understand anything about what's going on. Or like, it was like they were just making it up scene by scene.
Oh, absolutely. They were like, you guys can figure it out, right? We'll just leave you out here and you can just put it together. And we're like, sure. I mean, why not? We can suspend a little more disbelief. What's another random thing we don't understand?
But why is the zombie weakness cold air? I don't understand.
Yeah, because there was no such thing as AC and it makes his nose stuffy. I'm not sure. Like,
I don't know.
What's...
Or do you think he'd be like, oh, this is nice?
Is this movie this? Positing that humanity had to evolve to tolerate air conditioning?
I don't know. Where we're going.
I don't know.
Yeah, at this point, I'm just like strapped in for the ride. I'm like, sure, the air conditioning. That, yep, got the zombie for sure. And then we keep cutting back between Marcus and Mary, now that we've lost Marcus now, and then Angela and Nathan. So Angela and Nate have this dramatic fight in the woods and they separate. Nathan's upstairs pouting in the attic or whatever. And then Angela is going to go try and save the day. She's going to go like fight the zombies or whatever. And she gets held captive by all three of them. Andrew Jackson, by the way, I just have to say, is just a big bobbing wig.
Mm-hmm.
Like I only knew that it was Andrew Jackson because they kept saying it, but it's mm-hmm. just a wig appears and then there's like a little bit of gore underneath and he's like, arr, I'm a zombie. He's doing like the like snarling, the
demon voice and like, snarling. Yeah.
I'm like, sure, that's definitely Andrew Jackson, whatever, it doesn't matter. So Angela's being held captive by three zombies. Then Nate is thinking, oh, yes, he has a very sentimental moment. Soft piano music plays. I was close to my sister once. And he like looks at a picture and then he's like, okay, let's do this. He shotguns a lot of beer. He dons a U.S. flag cape and he gets a chainsaw and he's going out there and doing the thing.
I feel like this whole script is something like a drunk, like frat guy, like, they're just sitting around and like, you know, it would be funny if we did a zombie movie.
That was probably the cast as they were making this up moment by moment. They're like, you know, it'd be funny, bro. If you do this, bro. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
did you mention too that when Mary drives away, a head lands in her lap while she's driving?
Totally forgot. It's the head is of that guy that, what's his face? We don't know who he is. The random guy. Yeah, so I call it drops into her lap.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the last we see of Mary for a while. She's just out. And I was like, oh, I guess she's the only logical person here. She made it. Bye.
Yeah.
That's off.
She's the only smart one.
Yeah, so now we're only left with Angela and Nate.
Mm-hmm.
As Angela's kidnapped by the zombies and Nate goes and tries to save her. And there's a weird moment where everyone's just having a little chit chat where Angela's being held captive. And then they say something about ending slavery. And George Washington is very offended and turns to Lincoln and says, "You ended slavery?" And Lincoln's like, just kind of like shrugs and giggles. And then George Washington is like, "Oh, okay," like horrified.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just carry on. And I don't know, there's a bunch of stuff happening all at once. It's all chaos.
Yeah. He also asks Lincoln if he's ready to take back the land that belongs to us.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There are a couple of pungent founding fathers jokes in here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and one of the things that was kind of sort of around the same time, I think, because again, I like zoned out for a while, but Nate says he can't kill the zombies because they're presidents.
That's when they're having the fight and Angela's like, "Fine, you stay in the attic. I'm going to go save the world," because Nate's like, "I can't do this. I love presidents. Just the principle of the thing. You can't kill a president." And Angela's like, "That doesn't make any sense. Goodbye."
I think that was the point maybe where she was like, "Do you even know anything about Andrew Jackson? He was horrible."
Yeah.
And like this guy who loves presidents and loves the 4th of July and loves America knows absolutely nothing about it, which I think I know what they were doing there and I can't disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny shrug, yeah. So I think now we're at the point, unless you guys want to stop me from speeding this train along.
No, please, you go ahead.
You're both like, "Can we just get through this?"
Yeah.
Where, I don't know. So in order to like reverse the zombies or whatever, this is another point where our character Angela says, "It makes sense if you think about it." And I'm like, does it? Because they talk about like, oh, you just have to like read the Constitution again, and like you need, quote, Americana, you need some like beer or whatever, and Nate's like, "I drank all the beer," and then like it's okay because Americana is from the inside or whatever. And so there's a bunch of fighting over the Declaration of Independence, and then as they're all fighting, suddenly Mary reappears and she has this big firework and she goes, "This one's for Harriet," and then just blows the zombies to smithereens. And that was my favorite moment in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody wants the Declaration of Independence. Like the zombies want it for reasons to complete the curse or whatever.
Yeah, so they can bring up more zombies and take over the world or whatever.
But like, mm-hmm. I don't know, they find their father's note, their dead father's notes, because he was researching this or something, but like didn't bother to tell them anything about it apparently before he died of this illness. Like maybe would have been a good time or like a better script choice to have had him die unexpectedly, tragically, suddenly, instead of like, oh, he was sick and just like decided not to tell us about this, you know, curse with the zombies, so the audience could have any idea what was going on or why.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "This is fine. This won't cause any problems later on."
But I'm pretty sure, like, one of those recurring, I use the word joke loosely, about this makes sense if you think about it. Didn't he write that in its notes?
Even yes.
Like the father, when they were like reading the notes, he wrote, "It makes sense if you think about it." And I'm like, it doesn't though. I have spent way too much time thinking about this and come to the conclusion that it in fact does not make sense.
It actually makes no sense at all.
It makes less sense every second I think about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he talks about how he either doesn't talk about it at all or is very vague about like what you have to do to get rid of the zombies, but
incredibly
something that involves like reading the Declaration of Independence and something mm-hmm. about American spirit or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And did you like what they used as the Americana?
What did they use?
So the severed hand of George Washington is used as Americana because they drank the rest of the beer.
Yeah, they had no Americana beer left, so they just used a severed hand. That's great.
Mm-hmm. The most American thing.
Yeah, it's fine.
You know, America was founded on a pile of severed hands, so.
Mm-hmm. You know,
So anyways, at some point Mary gets taken out by a zombie, but then mm-hmm. Angela and Nate hold the Declaration of Independence with George Washington's severed hand and save the day. And we make our way towards the end of this movie.
We limp across the finish line.
Yep. And then Ange says she and Nate are the ones getting reelected.
Oh, God.
I think that's when it did the title card again.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And then Nate's leg comes off.
How does his leg?
I was so down confused,
and then I looked back up and I was like, sir, is your leg gone? When did that happen?
I was so confused, like, and just did not care enough to rewind at this point. Same. That I was like, when did he lose a leg? Did I miss something? What?
Maybe George Washington attacked him, or the firework blew it off or something. But yeah, we just kind of cut to, like, it's the middle of the day. So, like, they've been walking all night? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then he's, like, propped up against a boulder with his leg gone, and they're just chilling there waiting for an ambulance. And then the ambulance comes, and the paramedics are like, hey, so, unfortunately, your insurance is not going to cover the ride to the hospital. It's going to be a gajillion dollars. And they're like, mm-hmm. what? Then the other paramedic is like, oh, yeah, and also, the insurance also will not be covering your leg reattachment. So you'll have to either pay for that or not have a leg. I'm not sure what to tell you. And then they go, oh, but we do have some good news for you. And Angela and Nate are like, anything, anything, like, we'll take whatever. And the paramedics just go, oh, there's a free fireworks show tonight at, like, whatever at the park if you want to come see. And then Angela is, like, about to explode and she starts screaming at them. And then that's when we just cut in the middle of her yelling. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, that was a fairly accurate portrayal of the American healthcare system. So
it was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We can only reattach limbs that came off at the hospital for free.
Yeah, that's, I mean, what they say. Like,
what? fun fact, the two paramedics are the writer and director of this film.
Okay. Oh, that's amazing. I love that so much.
Yes. Oh, did you have info about actors, Shelby?
I do. I have some fun facts. Should we just start diving into fun facts?
Yes, because I'm still confused by the plot of that movie. Why it exists. So tell me about the actors.
Okay, we got to take the edge off a little bit with some other fun information. Okay. So I wanted to learn a little bit about the actors, because even though they could be a little grating in the movie, I did enjoy the performances sometimes, especially the actor for Angela. I thought she did a really good job, and also the actor for Mary. I thought they were both fun to watch. Like, I wasn't cringing and wanting to throw my computer out the window the entire time. I enjoyed them. So first I looked into who played Angela, our main character. So she's played by Natasha Mercado. And she seems very cool. I think, oh, it's on here somewhere. She's Bolivian and American, which I thought was very cool. She's also a Capricorn, just in case you're interested. She is an actress, director, producer, writer, and theater arts educator. And she also does clown work, which I thought was really cool. So if you go on her website is natashamercado.com, and you can read all about her and how cool she is. And currently she's touring for her award-winning solo clown show called Tree, and I thought that was amazing. So she has some, like, clowning coaching and classes that you can take, with where she, like, kind of talks to you about, like, the art of acting and moving your body and, like, the art of comedy and all this stuff. So if you're interested in becoming a clown, please look up Natasha Mercado, because she will teach you.
I was born a clown.
I was gonna say Eric's already a clown.
It's usually not intentional, but
yeah, but it does happen. And then to take a total 180, I was thinking I'd find something similar about the actor who played Nathan, but I did not. I found something very different. Let me figure out what his name is first, because it's not right here on his website, which is very weird. I know his name is Cam. His name is Cameron Gilliam. So I looked him up and he has a website as well. So I was like, oh, are you like an actor? What do you do? What's your vibe? Totally different vibe, not silly or clowny at all. He does leadership and life coaching, which was
this
interesting.
Movie is not a ringing endorsement for him.
No.
If you want to look him up, his website is CameronGilliam.com. And it's very interesting. He'll do like consultations for life stuff, to do like thought work and work, mm-hmm. like making decisions, being a leader, managing stress, establishing essential rhythms, finding purpose, and bringing dreams to life. Which
I need all of that.
Yeah, he's got an interesting, he is a smart guy, which not to say that you wouldn't know that from the movie, because it is acting, but he mm-hmm. plays a very dumb person in the movie. So he's a very he's got some degrees and some education, and he's a cool guy. I have also some information on, I have to find her because I want to give you her name. I also looked up the actress who played Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna find it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, you are.
Well,
you
I know have what's... a fun fact about, did you have anything about the Marcus actor?
No, oh my gosh, tell me.
Matthew DeHoff, I mean, this is straight from the IMDb trivia page, but apparently there is a whole, what's the name of the director of this film?
Rad. Oh, I have something? It here somewhere. Max Radbill.
So apparently there is a Radbill extended universe, because Matthew DeHoff plays the character Marcus Modeno, who was also in Max Radbill's previous film, The Sisterhood of Girls Who Won't Date Me. So he has the Radbill extended universe. Apparently there are multiple film entries into this shared story that he's telling.
Interesting. That almost makes me want to watch it, but not no.
Please report back. I'm okay.
Yeah, I've had enough. Thank you so much. Okay. The last little piece of information that I have is about the actor who plays Mary, because I thought she was amazing and cool. And she fought off George Washington in the very beginning, and they had a very cool fight scene. And so she also was the most logical person in this movie. I'm just going to throw that out there. Apart from Angela, Mary is the only one who's reasonable in this movie. So anyways, Mary is played by a gal named Chloe Michaela. So she's an actor, comedian, and writer. And she also has a website, if you so choose to peruse. It is chloemichaela.com. And I just wanted to say that she seems really cool, and she does stand-up comedy, and you can see little skits of hers on her social medias. She's very cute and funny if you want to see. She also has a TikTok.
Perfect. Nice.
And that's all that I looked up the director a little bit too, and I saw that he's done some other movies, like a couple of short films and just other very goofy movies, like horror movies, but they're of this caliber, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at the plot synopsis of The Sisterhood of Girls Who Won't Date Me, and it seems like it might be a horror. When Sheepish High School senior Luke Modeno, so it's Marcus's brother is the main character of this film.
Oh, okay.
Finds out that all of the girls at school have taken a secret oath not to date him, he must discover why.
But his search for answers
reveals some dark secrets about the school and the students there.
Okay, sure, why not?
Yeah. That sounds like A+ quality work right there. Aw. Do you want to go into ratings, or did you have a favorite quote?
Oh, I do have a favorite quote. I do. It's not a silly one, though. There were so many silly ones that I just made my eyeballs roll into the back of my skull. And I didn't write any of those down. But there was one quote that I thought was kind of like a thesis statement for this movie. And it's when Angela and Nate are fighting before they get all the zombies out of the ground and whatever. When everyone's drunk and uncomfortable. Where Angela says to Nate, "You love being American because you think it makes you better than everyone else." And then there's like an awkward silence. And I'm like over here scribbling the quote down. I'm like, oh, that was actually kind of good. And I think that, not that this movie is super deep, it's very surface level thematically. But there is a little bit of that there, where our main character and his foolishness is what brings the zombies out. And a big part of it is that he celebrates being American without having a full understanding of not only American history, but, you know, what got us to the point that we're at now. Good and bad. Just, you know, he doesn't seem to have a full understanding of what it is to be American. He just only likes to wear the American flag as a cape and shotgun beer and scream about 1775. So that was an interesting moment for me where I heard that quote and I thought, this is probably gonna come back later.
Yeah, I think the sad thing or the disappointing thing about this movie to me is that it has a lot of potential. As like, a lot of times horror movies are kind of metaphors for confronting trauma or, you know, serious issues. And they did make some small attempts at that, but, you know, literally this movie could have been about the complicated relationship we have with America's history and how you can be patriotic in a country, but also take a look at some of the really dark things in our past. And this movie, like, is a perfect way where they could be physically confronting the past of America and you know, the sins of our fathers, so to speak. And they just kind of like, I don't know, flubbed it, I thought, personally.
A little bit. It stayed pretty surface level. And I don't want to like barrel over what you just said, but I agree fully. And what you said made me think about how some people won't allow for any criticism of the US in any way, which is kind of like this Nate character. He just won't allow for any criticism. But I think a big part of being patriotic and loving the country that you're from is wanting the best for it. And that will involve looking into how you can make it better. So yeah, we don't really dive into that as much as we'd like to, I think.
And it could have been so great.
Yeah.
It's like a concept that I really love and I just did not pretty much at all enjoy the execution of.
Yeah, totally. You can do it with a low budget and, you know, actors who are just making it up as they go. You can totally get there, but we didn't quite make it. So anyways, that being said, are there any other favorite quotes? Because that was the only one that really spoke to me spiritually.
I would say that was probably my favorite too. And it wasn't a quote, but just like the insurance stuff at the end was just so accurate.
So telling. It hurt my soul because it's true.
Relatable content when you don't want it.
Yeah. It's like, I wasn't expecting that either because the movie was so cheeseball. So like you said, it really could have been something.
Yeah, but it was fun to watch once. I don't need to do it again.
Yeah, same. This will be my one and only time watching this one.
Yeah.
All right. So ratings. Let's see. We'll just skip over the creep factor because this wasn't scary at all. So, but the gore was, there was some gore. How would you rate the gore on a scale of, what were we using? Like bloody hands?
Severed gooey arms.
There we go. What would you rate it?
The gore, I don't know. It wasn't scary, but it was fun to look at. My two favorite parts being the goopy arm slowly coming off. And then also there's a part where Angela just like wails on Lincoln's face with something. I don't remember if it was a shovel or what, but she like goes down. And then you don't see it though. The screen actually turns like, it tints red. It doesn't even have like a blood splatter. It's just the whole thing tints red, which I didn't love, but it got the message across. And then a minute later, Lincoln just kind of like saunters up with his bashed in face and like the effects were kind of good. I liked it. So I don't know. It wasn't scary or anything, but I enjoyed looking at it. So I don't know, two and a half goopy severed arms out of five.
Yeah, I would give it three bloody stumps out of five, maybe three and a half. Because yeah, it was definitely not realistic, but there was a lot of it and I enjoyed looking at it.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd say two or three as well. So I'm going to stick with two and a half. Like two bloody stumps and like a bloody like knuckle would be
mine. A little extra knuckle.
Yes, absolutely. And so we already established we're not watching this again, but what would you rate it on a scale of, I don't know, like 1 to 10, 10 being the absolute best movie you've ever seen and 1 being Leprechaun?
What?
I'm kidding. I liked Leprechaun.
Leprechaun was amazing. You take that back.
Leprechaun. I was kidding. That was just the first one that came to mind. How about based on Sweet Valley High? From Sweet Valley High.
Oof.
Ooh.
R.L. Stein.
I don't know. I'd give this movie like 3 or 3.5 bashed in Lincoln zombies out of 10. It was fine. Yeah, I watched it once and enjoyed it, but I think if I watch it again, I'd be pretty bored.
Yeah. I was pretty bored the first time. I would say a 2.5 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 2 because it was only 1 hour and 20 minutes and I zoned out for a while.
Said it before, I would be watching this and I'd be like, it has to have been 20 minutes. How much is left in this piece of nonsense? And 5 minutes would have passed. And I would swear it was 30 minutes at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're going to make a baby of a movie, like make it really short, it better be quick, because all the lingering awkwardness, especially in the beginning, the second half was like, at least it picked up because there was like some goop and, you know, creepy stuff kind of, but in the beginning, oh boy, we don't need to spend 30 minutes with this group of college bozos. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, this movie had enough plot for like a 42-minute, you know, TV show episode.
Yeah, or like a skit on a comedy show or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, did you have anything else you want to say about this movie?
I'm sorry for suggesting it.
It's all your fault, Eric.
I have no regrets. I saw it once. It was fine. I won't be watching it again, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't watch it. If you, some of this stuff, you have to see it to believe it. So get this DVD. We have it here at the library on our shelf for you to find. And it is a motion picture. I can tell you that.
It is for sure. Don't make us suffer alone. Watch the movie.
Yeah, watch the movie and then come find your local library staff and tell us what you thought of the movie.
Maybe it's your new favorite. We don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, and we'll be really happy for you if it is.
Yep. All right. So I think that does it. So we are out of here. Peace out. So join us next time for our next podcast. Bye.
Bye.